In Buddhism, we recognize three things about the universe, and this is a set of three characteristics that are true of everything in the universe. Whether you be born a king, or you be born an angel, or you be born a god. That everything in the world is impermanent. It's changing all the time. It's unstable. It's finite. So the idea of stability is really contrary to the very nature of our existence. We're not static beings that exist outside of space and time, no? Outside of the universe that we find ourselves in. Our existence is defined by our relationships with the objects of our experience, which is changing all the time. So we change with it. The biggest part of what it is that creates this change is really our own fault. We're looking for stability, we're looking for certainty and consistency. But the way we act, the way we set about living our lives is contrary to a life of stability, tranquility, and peace. And quite often this is because we simply don't realize our intrinsic relationship with the world around us, our inherent relationship, that we have no existence apart from the universe, apart from our experience. We're dependent on it. And the universe depends on us. Our world depends on our actions and changes accordingly. So we tend to do and say and think and engage in activities, thinking them to be harmless. Failing to see the effect that they have on our lives. Failing to see that they change who we are. They change our universe. We engage in addictive practices, obsessive practices. We engage in the pursuit of sensuality. Not seeing the danger in it, not seeing the change that it's bringing about on our minds and on our lives. We don't see the stress, we don't see the tension that we're creating in our minds. We don't see that our minds are out of balance. We don't see that we're creating the very impermanence that we're seeking to avoid, the very uncertainty, instability. We're winding ourselves up with our attachments. We want something more and more, and when we get it, we're not satisfied. Yeah, we need more. And when we don't get it, we're far more unsatisfied, to the point of desperation when we don't get what we want. So really, there's no one to blame for one's unsettled nature beyond oneself, and we've all brought ourselves to this point. The real key in Buddhism is whether you suffer or not as a result of it. So the second thing the Buddha said that is inherent in the world around us is suffering. That the experiences that we have, the instability that exists in the universe, means that it's not going to make you happy. It doesn't mean that you have to suffer because you live in the universe. It means that all of the things that you could cling to are not worth clinging to. All of the things that you could seek to stabilize, to control, to chase after, are only a cause for suffering. All of the things that you can do, all of the goals that you could have in regards to the attainment of worldly stability and happiness, are only a cause for stress and suffering. So a person can live in great instability and still be at peace with themselves. A person can live in a world that is chaotic. One could live with great suffering, physical suffering, or suffering in their lives, without actually suffering from it, because they don't cling thereto. So the important defining factor is whether or not we cling, whether or not we identify with the reality around us. And this is really the problem, is that we've built up so many identities and we play roles, no? Role playing. A lot like we do here in Second Life. People come here and pretend to be this and pretend to be that. And we really do this in our quote-unquote real life as well. The roles that we play, the people that we believe ourselves to be, are roles in the same way that our characters here are roles. We've created who we are. We've built it up. And so the pursuit of this or that goal or this or that path is caught up in this role, is caught up in who we are. I'm going to do this, I'm going to get that, going to school, getting a job, getting married, and so on. We have all of these fantasies, really, all of religion, all of the ideas of God, and all of the political structures and philosophical ideas, all of our laws of physics and chemistry and biology. It's all just fiction, really. It's all just fantasy. It's we create all of this. You know? Our plans for the future. All of our work. It's all constructs. We create it all. So Buddhism helps us to go the other direction. Helps us to deconstruct, to break apart, and to give up and let go and rise above this fiction, this contrived state. So I know normally I give these long talks and people sometimes like them and sometimes don't like them, but I think more important than that is to actually do some practice. You know, we come here, let's not live in fantasy, let's not engage in this sham. We're here to learn something. We're here to develop ourselves. Let's take this opportunity. We can do some practice together. So I'd like to lead you all now. I'm not going to take long, but I'd like to lead you all in a specific meditation practice, and that's the meditation to simply see things as they are. We have this development of wisdom in Buddhism. Buddhism is for the development of wisdom, understanding, right view, and all this. And there's so much reading and studying you can do in Buddhism. And it often comes to seem like such a deep and profound and intellectual subject that we lose sight of what we mean by wisdom is really understanding this. It's not understanding that or anything else. It's understanding this, the this that is us. You know, who are you? What are you doing right now? You're in your room. You're somewhere, looking at the computer. But think about your a little bit broader about your life, the challenges that are facing you, the problems in your life, and so on. Some of the things that perhaps you're trying to get away from by coming to Second Life. This is what you're going to learn about. This is what we're going to study. Rather than run away from it, rather than avoid it, this is the object of our meditation. When we talk about understanding reality, we're not talking about understanding a different reality. We're talking about understanding what it is that we experience, our lives. Something very simple and mundane. But the big secret about the mundane is that it's only mundane because we don't like it. It's only mundane because it's not pleasant for us. It's not acceptable to us. We can't bear with it. Can't live with it in comfort and peace. So, once we learn to live with ourselves, to live with our own lives in peace and harmony, it no longer is mundane. It becomes incredibly satisfying and quite interesting, to say the least, that our lives, this mundane life that we have, becomes profound, it becomes spiritual, we become enlightened. I mean, it's something that most of us would probably find unfathomable, that somehow we, this ordinary, mundane, person who has ordinary mundane worries and cares could become someone special and wonderful. But this is what we do. We take this mundane life and we turn it into an enlightened state. So this is what we're dealing with. It's something quite profound. On the one hand, quite profound, and on the other hand, quite simple. We're not going to leave our bodies. We're going to study our bodies and our minds. So you can close your eyes. There's no need to look outside, because the eyes are doors, and when we look, we jump. We jump from ourselves to some illusion of where we are and the world outside of ourselves. Let's look at what's real, and that's our experience. So here we are experiencing. What are we experiencing? Well, the first thing, at the very beginning, it's going to be quite dull and uninteresting, no? We're experiencing the chair. We're experiencing the sounds in the room, the sound of my voice. We're experiencing the heat or the cold. We're experiencing the feelings in the body. We're experiencing the thoughts and emotions in the mind. The wandering mind. These sorts of talks and practices, many people have a hard time coping with. And so I see a lot of people, when I start to talk, get up and go. And I'm never really bothered by that, because I know it's hard to listen to what I have to say. I'm not funny. I'm not interesting. I'm not amusing. But I really honestly think that I have something good to say, useful, because it's been useful for me. Buddhism is not something that's easy for people to take. You have to be strong, because the mind is wandering. The mind is... It's easy to say these things, but our mind is not stable if we're not well trained. It can be very difficult to look at this reality which we've built up all sorts of illusions about, that it's boring and mundane and useless. It's much more useful for us to deal with illusion and these mental constructs of who we are and so on. But no, here we're going to look at something mundane. We're going to look at what most people refuse to look at. And we're going to come to understand it. We're going to come to understand reality. So the method that many of you are aware of that I recommend, because it's worked well for me, is this mantra, the technique of reminding ourselves of the portion of our experience that's real. And that's the very basic elements of it: the seeing, the hearing, the smelling, the tasting, the feeling, the thinking, the physical and mental elements of experience. Or you experience the chair, you experience it through feeling, no? You experience my voice, you experience it through hearing. You experience pain, you experience happiness, you experience thoughts, emotions. These experiences are all that's real. And the experience arises and ceases. It comes and goes. So, we're going to try to keep our minds with this reality, so that we can see it clearer, so that we can come to understand it, and we can get it through this thick skull of ours, this clouded mind of ours. What is the nature of reality? That it's not worth clinging to, and we should stop clinging, we should stop obsessing, running away from. And we come to just experience, to just be. And we come to open our minds up to the whole of experience. So this mantra is simply reminding ourselves of reality so that we can stay with it. For instance, when we're sitting in the chair and we feel the sitting, we feel our back and our bottom and our legs touching the chair, touching the floor, we say to ourselves, sitting. Just remind yourself that you're sitting. It's a very basic meditation practice, but it's quite useful. When you remind yourself in this way that you're sitting, your mind is suddenly freed up from all of the illusion and delusion, all of the games and fantasies that we play and entertain. Suddenly we're here, we're now, we're real. We're just sitting. So we say to ourselves, sitting. Very silly, simple thing. So simple that we would never think to do it, and only the Buddha ever thought that we should do such a thing. No one ever wants to learn about the mundane, something we think that we know all about. And it's really the only thing that we know nothing about. The only part of our experience that we know next to nothing about. We're so engaged in learning about things external to ourselves that we neglect ourselves. Another common one that we recommend is to watch the breath. This is one that the Buddha recommended quite often. Watch the breath where it enters the body at the nose, or watch it where it finishes in the body in the stomach. When the stomach rises, you can note the rising motion. Simply recognizing it for what it is, rising. When it falls, fall. You say to yourself, rising, falling in the mind. And this is a replacement for the distracted thinking. It's a replacement for the many different kinds of thoughts that arise. Replacing with a single thought, a wise thought, if you will, a thought that is aware of the object for what it is. It doesn't go beyond the bounds of the true nature of the object. So when we do this, we're getting closer to the essence of our experience. And in the beginning, we're going to see the chaotic nature of the experience. That the way we live our lives in an unmeditative way, it has wreaked havoc on our inner selves. It's really messed us up, to put it one way. We can see that our experience, even of the stomach rising and falling, even of this talk, I'm sitting here giving a talk and you're all listening, your experience of it is tempered by your emotions. Maybe I tell you to do rising, falling, and it's suddenly all this judgment arises. Oh, it's not good in this way and that way, or I'm not good, or so on, or this is boring, or so on. Even though you might want to listen, you're unable to focus because of the way our minds run here and there. But we're not judging. important thing is to see and to understand. We're not trying to get angry or feel bad about the way we've lived our life. We're just trying to understand what are the results of what are the consequences of our actions. Neutrally, we're trying to understand. We're scientists. We're not religious zealots trying to hold up a doctrine. We're trying to see things as they are. So even when we feel angry or frustrated or bored or sad, we'll use the same mantra. When we feel angry, we'll say angry, angry. And we just want to learn about the anger. We don't want to judge it. If we judge it, then we learn nothing. If we judge it without investigating and observing and coming to true conclusions, then we've learned nothing. We're failing the Buddha's teaching. But when we look at it, when we examine it, and when we come to understand it, and understand the whole nature of our good and bad emotions, good and bad in the sense of bringing us good or bad results, when we see the results they're bringing, then there's no intellectual exercise necessary. Because obviously when we see that something hurts us, we won't do it. We won't continue it. We won't have any interest in it. When we see that something brings us benefit, we will definitely increase it. And eventually we will come to see that nothing that arises, no experience that we have, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, feeling, thinking, is inherently good or bad. What's good or bad are our reactions to them. And they're good and bad because those reactions are going to determine whether we meet with happiness or we meet with suffering. If we cling, we're clinging to something that's impermanent. When it changes, we'll meet with suffering. So we simply watch the objects for what they are. We come to see them for what they are. And we come to see that watching and seeing and simply knowing the objects of experience for what they are is the correct way, is free from all of the stress and suffering of clinging. When we feel pain in the body, we simply know that we're feeling pain. We remind ourselves this is pain. 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 Showing ourselves that indeed it's neither good nor bad, and indeed the best way, the greatest, the most appropriate manner of relating to this is with simple knowledge and wisdom. That when we do see the inherent nature of the pain, we are free from all of the stress that comes from judging and aversion towards the pain. That in fact the suffering doesn't come from the pain itself, it comes from our aversion towards it. So let's just do this here. Let's try and practice this. We'll see that inside of ourselves there are good things and there are bad things. But mostly there are just neutral things. Those things that are only bad because we're judging them, are only good because we're clinging to them. Try to watch your body, watch the physical, watch what is most clear. your mind begins to create, begins to wander and chase after experiences and fantasies and so on, catch those up as well and watch them. Know them for what they are. When you're thinking, know that you're thinking. When you have emotions, judging, know that you're judging. Liking. Just remind yourself it is what it is. Angry, disliking, bored. We're not trying to stop these emotions. We're trying to see them for what they are, learn about them, understand them. It doesn't take long at all to understand these things. Few moments of acknowledging is generally all that it takes to see that you're hurting yourself and give it up. the very least, from at the very least from a short look at who we are, we should be able to see some of how our mind works. So it's obviously going to take time to really say that we've gained these noble qualities of wisdom and insight, but in the meantime, we've done something noble and worthwhile that may not seem like it at first. In fact, for many people, the beginning is the most discouraging. No, you start meditating and it feels like you're just not made for this. Your mind is just not settling down. How do I keep my mind still? How do I stop my mind from wandering? But that's really the revelation that comes from meditation, is that you can't, that you don't, that you've made your bed, now you lie in it. We've developed this state of distractedness. We've developed these states of anger, of aversion, of greed, of wanting, of attachment and desire. And we're powerless to avoid them. And all we can do is avoid repeating the same mistake in the future, so that eventually it lessens and lessens and lessens, and in the future we have none of this chaos, that we can eventually be free from the chaos. We can't somehow turn the chaos off. We can only change the direction we're headed so that we create no more of this. When we start to meditate, the most important skill that we're going to learn is acceptance, accepting the things that we can't change, accepting when we've done things wrong, when we've the mistakes that we've made. Accepting our faults and learning to work them out rather than avoiding them and denying them and trying to turn them off, cut them off, and pretend they don't exist. Learning to accept that they're there, accept that we've developed this, we've created this by the way we live our lives. So I hope that's been of some use. Thank you for coming. Maybe someday I'll have a steady schedule here in Second Life, and people will be able to know when I'm giving talks in advance. But you can always keep up with me on Facebook. That seems to be where I'm going to start posting, where I've been posting my Second Life talks, or my dates when I'll be giving a talk. Otherwise, thank you all for coming. If you have any questions, I'm happy to take them, and I hope that you're all able to put this into practice and progress on the path to the realization of the truth of life. And I hope that you're all able to find true peace, happiness, and freedom from suffering. Thank you all for coming. Have a good day.